The views expressed on this program are for general information only and should not be considered specific investment advice. You should consult your financial advisor for guidance on your situation and read the prospectus carefully before investing. The Get Ready for the Future show is a production of GenWealth Financial Advisors, an Arkansas-registered investment advisor with securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Buckle up. For the next hour, you're locked into Straight Talk about retirement, investments, and your money.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
We have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Oh, shut up.
I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the Founding Fathers.
Failure is not an option.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the heart of the Delta to the tops of the Ozarks, the Get Ready for the Future show is on the air.
It's showtime!
Woo! Yeah!
Blasting away from the GenWealth World Headquarters in beautiful Bryant, Arkansas, welcome in to another edition of the Get Ready for the Future show, the post-Thanksgiving Day edition of the Get Ready for the Future show. My name is Scott Inman. To my left is Eric Stoffel. And to my right, John Shrewsberry. And to his right is not Janet Walker today. Janet's taking the week off with her kids and enjoying that. We've got Austin Evans in her chair today.
Yep.
It's big chair, big shoes to fill. Yeah, you're going to be all right over there, I think. Hey, it is post-Thanksgiving. We hope everybody had a fantastic Turkey Day. And it is also post-Black Friday. So this is the first day to really kind of look back and do you have eater's remorse? Right. Do you have buyer's remorse from Black Friday? Hope everybody's enjoying their time with their family. But obviously, I think you get the feeling there was some overindulgence going on both Thursday at the table and Friday in the shopping aisles.
Yeah, I think that you just have to motivate yourself to just move on Saturday after all of that. It's a long weekend, and you know you kind of get nested up and cooler weather and everything, and you just kind of get this inertia going on, which is really oftentimes what happens as you're trying to plan for retirement. Like that segue I got right into.
That's
it.
Good. Yeah,
I tried real hard to do that. It just came to mind. But you know, I think that a lot of people have time over the holidays to begin to think about their retirement, to begin to think about what's going on in their world and everything as far as retirement is concerned. And it's a good time to take stock, but it's also a good time to get an action plan together, because if you don't take action, you're just going to think about it.
Well, and I think, you know, when you use the word inertia, I think of autopilot and a lot of what we do when it comes to our finances, our savings, our budget. We do, at some point, we give it some attention, Eric, and then we just kind of set the autopilot button and forget about it. And I think there's certainly some value in that when it comes to contributions, right? I mean,
you set
it in motion, you forget about it, you learn to live without the money that's going in. But from time to time, especially as you get closer to retirement, there are some times in life where you really have to audit, assess, look at what maybe you need to do better. And I think that's what we're kind of jumping off with today is what are some things maybe you should look at as you go into 2018 to be better prepared for retirement?
Well, you talk about that transition. It is really important to, number one, we always preach, systematize your savings. Get it on autopilot. Don't make it a secondary concept, right? Pay that savings first. But now things change. Bills get paid off. Circumstances change. Maybe your income goes up. Maybe expenses go down. There is a time where you must kind of take a moment and think about, what can I do now? What's the next step? How can I push this a little bit farther? And, you know, holidays are full of plenty of activities, right? Mm-hmm. There's the Christmas party, and then there's the family coming in and all those different things. But it is a time to kind of take a step back and take a look, because the new year's coming, resolutions are coming, new commitments that you can make are coming. What are the changes you're going to make for 2018?
Well, I think that it's important that not only do you have a system in place to systematize your savings, but Austin, you've got to be doing the right things in order to get you where you want to go. You can't just do kind of minimalistic things toward your retirement or any goal and think that you're going to get there.
Yeah, exactly. You really want to make sure, look at
are you contributing enough to your retirement plan at work? A lot of people that I've met with, know a lot of y'all as well, they're just not maxing out. They're leaving money on the table. I've worked with people, I've talked to HR people. They said, my employees aren't even contributing anything. And they get frustrated. And that's a great, easy way to really maximize your savings and really grow into your retirement.
You're talking about the employer match there for right? I mean, if you're not contributing enough to your employer plan to get the money that your employer is matching, you are, in fact, leaving money on the table. And when you think about starting there as where do you need to make some different decisions in 2018, we're going to start with save more. And that's a real simplistic thing, right? I mean, obviously, most people probably would recognize, John, that probably I'm not saving enough for retirement. I could always save more. But when you put it on autopilot and when you put those contributions in motion, you never really go back to it. And I would say you need to be increasing year to year, probably.
Well, we all obsess over what's the rate of return that I'm getting on my investment? Am I getting that great rate of return? Did I beat my buddy at the water cooler on the rate of return or whatever? And your success in retirement has way less to do with the rate of return that you're getting on your investment. And it has way more to do with the fact of, are you putting the right amounts into the plan? And that causes you to have to do some reverse engineering, reverse mathematics, as I call it. You have to start with that big number that you're going for and do the math and back into how much do I need to be saving today at an assumed rate of return in order to get there. And then if you get those great rate of returns, Eric, that just makes that situation a lot better and a lot easier.
It is. It's better to plan to underperform, and then everybody's going to be happier if you overperform. Nobody's ever going to complain and say, oh my gosh, I got to retirement and I had more than what I had originally planned on. The emergency button gets hit when you get close to retirement and you get smacked in the face that there's not enough. There's not enough to generate the income that you're going to need, and that causes emergency choices at a later stage in life when, let's face it, some of the opportunities you may have had when you're younger go away, right? So when we start talking about savings, right, and the right places to do it, there's a multiple layer. I was talking to a guy yesterday of, do you put it in pre-tax money that's all taxable later? Do you put it in, say, in a Roth IRA where you're paying the tax liability now, but it's tax-free later? Do you put it in an account that is taxable now and liquid, which means you have access to it before retirement, but if you're trying to hide money from yourself and to get to retirement, do you want it in a piggy bank that you can easily go bust in? So it all starts, number one, with the amount that's appropriate to savings. How do you control that within your budget? And then the style box of where you, which piggy bank are you going to put that in?
This whole thing reminds me of this great story that I heard one time. It's got to be a fable, because if it happened to somebody for real, it'd just be a sad thing. But but the story is, this guy was looking for the perfect woman. He was looking for his perfect mate in life, and he searched high and low, and he passed by lots of girls in his life and said, no, you're not it. You're not it. Looking for that perfect girl. Well, one day he's on the street in New York City, and he hails a cab, and the cab pulls up, and he reaches and grabs the door handle of the cab, and then this velvet hand touches his. And he looks up, and there she is. It's the perfect girl.
Have you been watching the Hallmark Channel?
That's what I was thinking.
It's a little early.
It is.
Okay. But it's there.
And he looks up, and there she is. And she looks at him and says, would you like to share a cab? And he goes, oh, no, go right ahead. And she gets in the cab and starts to drive away. The cab screeches to a halt. She rolls down the window, and she says, you know, for the rest of your life, you're going to wonder what would have happened if you'd gotten in this cab. Rolls up the window and drives away. You're always going to wonder, you know, are you doing the right thing for retirement?
Yeah.
And all this dithering of sitting here trying to decide whether I need to do this or do that, just do it. Just ask. Yeah. Just get involved in the thing and go.
Well, and that's where we sometimes talk about that paralysis through analysis. If you spend too much time thinking, even if it wasn't the best opportunity, you lost an opportunity by not putting action behind that thought.
Sometimes I hate to cut you. I'm always cutting
Eric off. Why am I always the one that chimes in right at the end of the segment? I'm telling you.
We are up against a break, though. We're just getting started on the Get Ready for the Future show. We hope you stay with us on this Thanksgiving weekend edition. Back in a moment.
Don't touch that dial.
Pop, pop, it's showtime. 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 Guess who's back again?
Straight talk about retirement, investments, and your money is right around the corner. The Get Ready for the Future show returns after this.
Life can be so busy, it's hard to even picture retirement. That's why you need somebody you can trust who will paint that picture and help turn dreams into reality. Plan, personalize, and protect your future with the team at GenWealth. Call 877-341-7355 to schedule an appointment. Now, back to the Get Ready for the Future show.
Investments and economics move at the speed of light. And we've got the latest information you need to know to stay ahead of the game. From GenWealth Financial Advisors, it's the fastest 4 minutes in investing.
Welcome in on Facebook and on the Get Ready for the Future show to our fastest 4 minutes in investing. One of our favorite guys that we like to read research on and actually hear speak to, I should mention, is Brian Westbury, John.
Yeah.
He is always got his finger on the pulse with the economic data, with what he thinks is happening in the economy. He has been for years calling our economy a plow horse economy. So it's not meant to be a negative term. In fact, it's meant to be a positive term because everybody talks about how sluggish most of this bull market has been, but it has been moving forward.
Yes, and Brian is one of those guys that is very much a supply side economist. He really believes that lower taxes and lower regulation really help the economy, and he is jumping up and down these days because he says the economy is accelerating right now. And a couple of statistics that I wanted to point out. Halfway through the quarter, monthly data that was released show real GDP growing at a 3% annual rate. If that holds, it would make for three consecutive quarters of growth at 3% or higher. And Brian points out that, believe it or not, Scott, we have not had three consecutive quarters of 3% growth since 2004.
Wow.
And so we have been in this lethargic plow horse economy. And the image there, the word picture there is that you have a horse that has the ability to run very fast, but you've hooked up this big, heavy plow behind it and it's having to drag all that along. The metaphor there is that taxes and regulation have been the big, heavy plow. Now we're moving into that time of year where it's crunch time for the tax cut bill and the Trump administration. I think they've set things up pretty well for them as we move into this holiday period of time, but they do need to get that tax bill addressed sometime before the end of the year.
So this certainly runs counter to a lot of the noise that's out there as far as the age of the bull market, the all-time highs that the market is reaching. This is actually saying there may be much more room to run on this economy, going from a plow horse that, if you remember, continue to dismantle some of that regulatory burden, that you might actually still have a racehorse waiting behind that.
Brian Westbury, the guys at LPL Research that we follow very closely, several economists are looking for 2018 to be a very robust year if the tax cuts come through and we don't have that black swan event. And to back that up, I look at the LPL Research barometers of the over-index. Consumers drive this economy in the United States without question. So we look at consumer spending, we look at consumer borrowing, and we look at consumer confidence. If those things get too high or too hot, then we know that a recession is coming. But we're nowhere near the levels of them going over the threshold, if you will, of being recessionary. We still have room to run here. I'm not saying that it's going to go straight up. And as a matter of fact, we talk later in the day about the fact that there is going to be a pullback coming at some point in time in the market. But don't confuse a pullback with a recession. It's just not the same thing.
And housing numbers are up, too, according to this data as well. That's a good sign as well. But I want to go back to the word you said, if the tax cut plan, the tax plan goes through. A lot is riding on that, and there is a little bit of a deadline. There's a clock ticking on this.
There really is. You've got midterm elections coming up in 2018, and none of the politicians really want the controversy of a tax cut bill weighing on them as they're going out trying to campaign. So they're in a situation where they need to get this tax cut addressed sometime between now and the end of the year.
That's a look at the fastest 4 minutes in investing. The Get Ready for the Future show continues in just a moment, but take that home with you as you think about plow horse, maybe pulling some of that burden off And then there's a racehorse still underneath, potentially. Back in a moment.
The road to financial independence isn't easy, but it starts here. Back with more financial wisdom from the Gen Wealth team after the break. You're listening to the Get Ready for the Future show. Your retirement should be more. More than just investments, more about you, and more Get Ready for the Future show. Stay tuned for more.
Committed here on the Get Ready for the Future show to growing your financial knowledge and empowering you to make better financial decisions. We welcome you back into the Get Ready for the Future show. And there's always a Gen Wealth financial advisor available near you to have a conversation about your plan, about your future. We have offices in West Little Rock, Bryant, El Dorado, Hot Springs, and Shreveport, Louisiana. And to find a Gen Wealth financial advisor and to schedule that appointment, all you have to do is dial this number, 501-653-7355. Again, it's 501-653-7355. Or you can email us at info@getreadyforthefuture.com, and we'll get back with you and set up an appointment and make that match with an advisor that understands you. So we're talking about things to do in 2018 to be better prepared for retirement. And I'll put a shameless plug in here. One of the things you can do in 2017 to be better prepared for retirement is to sign up for our workshops.
We've got workshops coming up on December 5th, actually twin workshops, one of them going on in Stuttgart. Scott, your hometown. You and Eric will be over talking about the roadmap to retirement. We just did that workshop in Little Rock last month, and that was a great time had by all there. And then on December 5th in Little Rock, we'll be doing the Little Rock Embassy Suites location for Three Big Risk. It's a great opportunity if you are looking at retiring sometime in the next, oh, let's say 6 months to a year, and not a better time to come and understand some of the nuances of how you're going to provide that retirement income. We look at three things. Your retirement income ought to be regular, predictable, and dependable. It should be a situation where you are able to increase your retirement income over time, and if you so desire, to leave a legacy for your family. And so you can join us at either of those locations, at the Stuttgart Grand Prairie Event Center on December 5th or the Little Rock Embassy Suites on December 5th. Two different opportunities for you there. Give our office a call at 501-653-7355 or go online to getreadyforthefuture.com/events and register there.
Absolutely free to attend, and nothing is sold at our workshops. These are education-based, information-based, just giving you, again, like we just said, you're growing your knowledge to empower you to make some better financial decisions. So we hope you'll make plans to join us December 5th, either in Little Rock or in Stuttgart for a Gen Wealth Academy workshop. So we're talking about things to do in 2018 to be better prepared for retirement. And we kind of camped out in that first segment, guys, on save more. And I think that's this ambiguous term that everybody probably can associate with and understand that, man, I don't think I'm saving enough. But I don't know really how much. I don't really know how much is going to be enough. And this kind of highlights the next bullet point for us, which is you don't have specific goals in mind. You got to set a specific goal. And I think, Eric, when we sit with people who are in their 40s, that can be a little challenging sometimes because that's a moving target.
There's
right?
There's a layer of vagueness to it, yeah.
But you can still have some idea of, I've also sat with people in their mid-40s that know very clearly they want to retire at 62, that is or 65, or whatever the case may be. It is very specific in age, and that gives us something to work with.
Right. I think the specific part, the farther away you are from that target of trying to contemplate what is it that I'm going to need income-wise
right.
that far. Like if you're not going to at 64, going to retire in a year or two, you know what your bills are. You're pretty comfortable with what it's going to take. When you're back in your 40s and trying to think about at retirement at 60 or 65, what are the expenses you're going to have? We enter a little bit more vagueness, right? You've got a little bit more time where life can change, adjust. You could sell your house. Something can happen. But at the end of the day, you've got to begin to commit to a number so that you can work that, like John said, reverse engineer that number backwards from that point to today so that you have a measuring stick to change your actions.
Well, I want to take it a little bit further. Let's try to think ahead but in today's dollars. So let's say that you're making $40,000 a year today. And yeah, you've got to deal with the inflation factor of this. But as a general rule, if you were in your 40s or Austin, if you even if you're in your 30s mm-hmm. or 20s, you've got to have something to shoot for. So let's say that you're going to shoot for replacing your income in your retirement.
Yeah.
You can go through an exercise of saying, okay, if I need to generate $25,000 a year in addition to my Social Security to be okay if I were retiring today, then what would I need to save in order to be able to generate that $25,000 a year? And obviously, if you are the younger you are, yep. the harder this is to envision.
Yeah, it's real hard. Speaking from a guy who's 27, meeting with friends, they're just going, I have no earthly clue what I need to retire, because it's like, Eric, what you're saying, so far out, even further for someone in their 40s. And so, you know, I start, okay, well, let's look at, like you're saying, today dollars. Look at maybe saving 10% of your gross salary is a great, great number to kind of look at. Also, one thing that is very simple that I tell people in their 20s and 30s they're really trying to start is, you know, around the holidays where we're at right now, you may get some cash from family. What my wife and I are doing, we're putting that into savings towards our retirement. And I tell people, let's look at it as a bonus for you. It's an extra bonus that you don't normally see, and it's a great, great little bit to throw into your savings on top of that 10%.
And even at points where you can't necessarily fathom what I'm going to need down the road, the other simple exercise you can put is just simply grab a yellow scratch pad. Mm-hmm. And now this is a simplistic budget exercise. Write down the amount of income that comes in every month. Write down the commitments to bills that must be paid. Now, keep in mind electricity, insurance, those types of things, right? And then there are some bills that you've temporarily given up control of your money. You've bought a car, you've got mm-hmm. something going on, you'll get control of that money down the road. You add that up, subtract it, you're left with the amount of money you actually have control of every month, mm-hmm. right? And that may be movies and groceries and entertainment, those types of things. But those are the dollars you haven't committed to give to somebody else. That's the money we get to work with. And that's where commitment comes in of how many of those dollars are you going to structure to begin saving, and then where do I begin saving yep. them?
Let's use the word priorities. You know, if you think priority, that my retirement is a huge priority for me, then I think that you will begin to commit dollars there that maybe you wouldn't commit otherwise. And if you think that, I don't know, deer hunting or going to the movies or whatever the case may be is the high priority, well, you know what? That's where you're going to channel your money. Your treasures go where your heart is. And so if you really think about the fact that there's not going to be anybody that's going to set you up in retirement, there are very, very few pension programs, and your chance of getting a job that has a pension is fairly low in this day and time. And so there is no golden goose that's going to fly over your retirement house. You know, it's just not going to happen. So if it is to be, it is up to you and your financial advisor to work on a plan. So I think, Scott, priority is the key, and assessing, maybe taking this time during the holidays to assess, what are my real priorities? What really matters to me? Is it living now, today, or is it being sure that when I get older, I will have the opportunity to step out of the workforce and live without a paycheck?
Yeah, and you talked about all those things that people like to do, deer hunting, or if it's going to Razorback games or whatever the case may be. It is a balance that you have to strike. There's nothing here that says you have to live like a miser, but you've got to set the priority in motion and be willing to make the sacrifices to kick some things off of that list if need be to get you where you want to be.
And the other thing is, even with the best laid plan, sometimes, right, we got to call an audible. But the only fact is, if you're calling an audible too often, and when I say that, I mean, are you taking a loan out of your 401k? So you have actively been saving, increasing that balance, but now you're robbing the piggy bank on your long-term money, and you're paying an interest to the custodian, not to yourself, to borrow your own money and shortcut your retirement. It gets back to, do you have the fundamentals in place, right? To be able to save and commit that money long-term to savings, your short-term must be foundationally sound, right? We've got a plan to eliminate debt. You've got emergency funds and building those savings up so that when something comes up, we don't have to take back the money from our future to cover those unforeseen things now.
Well, I think that the symptom of a need to take a 401k loan is really indicative of a lack of base financial planning on the front end.
Yeah, yeah, and that's where a lot of people, I've met with people who didn't know, you know, I got to pay back interest on this, and they freak out. It's because they haven't sought the advice of a professional to explain them the process before they make that decision. And someone
much less they think they're receiving
exactly,
the interest.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. And then they don't realize if they left or got fired, well, there becomes some tax problems and some penalties thrown in there as well with that loan against them.
Well, that 401k loan is incredibly problematic. I just had someone who lost their job, and they had a $25,000 loan against their 401k plan. Well, now they have additional tax on $25,000 because that now is considered to be a distribution because they didn't have the cash to go and pay it back. And there's no vehicle to allow for the repayment of that loan now that they are gone from that 401k plan and that employer.
Well, let's talk a little bit, too, as we kind of Eric mentioned this in the first segment about where to invest or how to invest, the different kinds of investments or not investments, but plans or accounts that are available out there. So when you talk about investing in your 401k, the IRS did release back in October that they will be increasing the contribution limits in 2018 to $18,500. It was at $18,000, so they're bumping it up $500. And we should mention, too, if you turn 50 recently or are turning 50 in 2018, the catch-up contribution is $6,000 still. That's keeping it level where it was. But that allows you, once you turn 50, to add $6,000 to that $18,500, bumping that to $24,500. But that's all pre-tax money, right? So that is something we should just from a very basic level start with, is that money is going to go in before it is taxed. But then when you withdraw it in retirement, it will be taxed as ordinary income. And we're only going to have a few seconds left in this segment, but just to set up the next segment, I want to talk a little bit about tax diversification when it comes to income in retirement. So have you thinking about that? Because maybe you've approached those limits. Maybe you're getting close to those $18,500 in 2018, or you're looking for a place to save more as we talk about things to do in 2018 to be better prepared for retirement. But maybe you're just getting the employer match and you're nowhere near that $18,000, but you may want to look at a diversification strategy rather than going full in to the $18,500 with your 401k contributions. We'll talk about that as we consider things to do in 2018 to be better prepared for your retirement. On this edition of the Get Ready for the Future show, we will continue in just a moment.
Like what you hear? The Get Ready for the Future show is always just a click away. Find us on iTunes, Google Play, or on our website, GetReadyForTheFuture.com. We'll be right back. If you aren't following us on social media, you're missing out. Check out behind-the-scenes photos, money tips, and informational videos. Just search for Gen Wealth on Facebook or follow us at Gen Wealth FA on Twitter. Now, back to the Get Ready for the Future show.
I want to remind you again about our upcoming Gen Wealth Academy workshops coming to Little Rock and to Stuttgart on December 5th at 6:30. That's the start time for both of those workshops. We'll be talking about the three big risks to your retirement. Find out what they are and how to create strategies to take them on in retirement at the Little Rock Embassy Suites. And then Eric and I will be in Stuttgart at the Grand Prairie Event Center on December 5th at 6:30 for the roadmap to retirement, a great presentation that kind of goes mile markers based on your age of what you should be looking at, depending on your age, to better prepare for retirement. You can sign up at GetReadyForTheFuture.com/events. It's absolutely free to attend. Nothing is sold. It is just an education opportunity for you to spend about an hour with us, getting to know us and getting some great information, growing your knowledge to empower you to make better financial decisions in the future. And we're trying to do that here on the Get Ready for the Future show this morning as well. Things to do in 2018 to be better prepared for retirement. We've camped out on a very simplistic phrase, save more. But what does that look like? We've talked a little bit about that this morning, but we're kind of going to get into where do you save, right? I mean, obviously, it is without a doubt that most people's life savings or their retirement savings, let's put it that way, are in employer plans because of the pre-tax opportunity to put money in before it is taxed. And not only that, I mean, I can remember when I was first starting to save in an employer-sponsored plan, guys, a lot of the benefit was for me was to pull down my taxable income, right? Because it doesn't make if it goes in before it's taxed, then you would get less of it if it was taxed anyway. So it makes sense there. And then obviously your taxable income is lower too. So it's a very appealing thing. But John, you were talking about during the break, there is some potential that might look a little differently in the future. You hear this coming out if you've paid any attention at all looking at the possible tax plans that are out there for both the House and the Senate. They've been kicking around this term called Rothification of your 401k. Let's talk a little bit about what they're talking about. We don't know that it's going to happen. It's kind of gone back and forth as to whether it's going to be included in the final bill. But what would that actually mean for people's 401k?
Well, they are looking for ways to pay for this tax cut. And if they're going to be able to give people an actual tax cut, then they got to come up with ways to actually nibble away at other things in the budget. And so one of those things is the possibility of taking away or reducing the tax deduction or the pre-tax benefit of a 401k contribution, right? Right now, if you contribute to the 401k, Scott, as you said, it lowers your taxable income. But in a situation where you look at Roth, 401k, IRA, things of that nature, you're looking at the ability to put money in on an after-tax basis, grow that money for a long period of time, and then have that entire balance available to you on a tax-free basis when you retire. The idea of Rothification of the 401k plan economically to people is a great idea long term. The tax benefit of it is important, but it is not the reason why you contribute to the 401k plan. But I fear that if they pull back on the tax benefit of the 401k, it will become just another excuse for not putting money into a retirement program. It is that short-term benefit that seems to drive people, not the long-term result. But it, just ask yourself, you know, Austin, if you save throughout your entire life and you have a balance of $1 million when you retire, had you rather that $1 million be taxable or tax-free to you?
Yeah, you would definitely want that tax-free to you when it comes out. But a lot of people, like you said, they're thinking of the short-term benefit and not thinking of the long run for them.
Well, and I think that part of the problem, Eric, is that people think, well, I've got to make, you know, in order to contribute $1,000, I've got to make $1,200 or $1,300 of salary to get the tax deduction to be able to put that money into it. And but in reality, that tax deduction doesn't necessarily get invested.
Yeah, John, that's a great point, because quite frankly, when you are putting money in pre-tax, right, you get more bang for the buck, right? But if it changes to a Roth IRA, it's technically going to cost you more of your income to make that same contribution. I like easy math. I put $100 in pre-tax. I know $100 is going in, and I know what the flow through to my checking account is.
Right.
Now, if I want $100 to go into the Roth, it's going to cost me more money out of my paycheck to put that $100 in, because I put $100 into the Roth. I now have that money being taxed, so there's a little bit less that comes through to my paycheck.
Yeah, it does cost you on your paycheck. It does not cost you in your contribution if your eye is on the dollar amount of the contribution. I guess that was where I was going with that, is that if you put the same amount of money into the plan, then obviously at the end you're going to have tax-free income in a Roth as opposed to taxable income in a regular 401k.
Yeah, and when we do our planning, when we build a retirement income plan, we're obviously focusing on that net income number because that's what people are spending, right? So we talk about required income. We talk about desired income. The required income is what you need to pay the bills in retirement. The desired income is what you want in retirement based on your retirement dream or your retirement plan, how much you're going to spend in that retirement budget. So when we set that up, it's a net income number. So when you think about, as we get into the tax diversification discussion here, guys, if you can build a substantial tax-free income stream, then that gross income number doesn't have to be nearly as high to get your net income goal made.
Or when we're talking about how much money you need to have when you get to retirement, right? Because we always approach it from the income need, drive it back to the amount of money that you need to have saved.
Right.
If it is tax-free income, the bucket needs to not be as full because you're not going to bleed on the backside, which leads you into the things that I worry about for the future, for retirement, is not necessarily rate of return. It's the things that can be done legislatively to us, right? So the old argument has always been, right, you're saving in your higher earning years, so take the tax deduction now, because in retirement you'll live on less, which means your bracket will be lower, and yes, it's taxable, but you'll pay less taxes. People were over $19 trillion in debt. They're trying to do a tax cut, and they're messing with the 401k contributions. I don't know what it's going to be 20 years from now, but I do know I need flexibility. I need flexibility of choice of where and how to draw that money out in retirement and how much lands in my paycheck net of taxes. Because somewhere down the road, they can change it. They can change the rules as they're approaching, right? But the end of the day is I know I need money because I'm going to quit working and I need to save it. But I've got no idea 20 years from now, how is the tax treatment going to be? I need to have some flexible buckets to pull from.
Again, the distractions of that conversation should not distract you from the job that you have of putting money in the plan. Remember, right. Mm-hmm. the number one arbiter of whether you're going to be successful in retirement or not doesn't turn on whether it's taxable or tax-free. It doesn't turn on whether it's a great rate of return, you know, picking the right mutual fund or anything of that nature. It turns on you getting off of it and putting the money in there.
Because nobody in 20 years, when they retire and can pay their bills, are going to go, well, gosh, if I'd only 20 years ago decided at that point to put more into the Roth than into the IRA, at this point, I don't care. You got the money. Yeah. We got to deal with the taxes, but you can pay your bills. That's a good thing.
Yeah. And I think what could get lost in the shuffle of this tax cut and what may or may not happen is not contributing. If it does happen, not contributing to your employer plan, you lose out on that possible match. And, you know, a lot of people forget there's money they're going to give you for contributing. So don't let just this possible short-term viewpoint prevent you from gaining more in your plan.
So let's talk a little bit just about the specifics of the Roth IRA, just in case somebody might be hearing about this for the first time. I've heard about a Roth, don't know much about it. There are some income restrictions. So if you make over a certain amount, that eligibility to contribute to a Roth IRA does diminish.
But now keep in mind, that's an individual Roth IRA outside of an employer plan.
Exactly.
That has a Roth option.
Yes, yes. Thank you for clarifying. We're not talking about the Roth 401k. We're talking about a Roth IRA outside of an employer plan. Otherwise, it is a $5,500 maximum contribution annually if you are under 50. And then there is a $1,000 catch-up contribution when you reach 50 years old there. So think about the difference that could make if you're over 50 and you're closer to retirement, obviously, than if you were under 50. That's $6,500, and that is on an individual basis. So if both spouses work, because that's the requirement to be able to open a Roth IRA, is to have earned income, then you could actually be looking at two Roth IRAs, both with $6,500. So there's $13,000 a year that could go in to your retirement. And again, that would be eligible to be tax-free when you take it out.
Guys, I know that anytime we talk about Roths, a lot of people that have pre-tax money in a 401k plan or IRAs, we always get calls from folks saying, hey, do I need to convert? Do I need to convert? And if you've got a lot of money in your 401k plan and not a lot of time between now and the time that you're going to retire, I think it's highly questionable whether you should convert or not. Conversely, if you go and you say, okay, well, I've got $15,000 in my IRA and I've got a long time before I'm really going to utilize it. In my opinion, that is a great opportunity to convert.
It's a time value of money, right? Is the value of the Roth is that you give that long enough time to run to accumulate gain that's tax-free. if all you're doing is prepaying the taxes to the IRS and you're going to pull that money out in a short period of time, it doesn't make as much sense. I agree with that.
And I think that those are questions. Those are great questions for people to ask. But the real opportunity, I believe, are younger folks that have maybe changed jobs and they kind of flippantly go, it's only $15,000 in my 401k plan. Instead of rolling that over, I'll cash that in and pay some bills. That is probably one of the worst things that you can do. But we see it all the time because, again, we're not really focused on the long-term benefit of what you've got. You're really focused on the short-term benefit of paying those bills off. And all you got to do is come in, sit down, run the math on it, and you can see very quickly exactly what the benefits are of maybe converting that and going on a tax-free long-term growth basis.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, John, is this all points to the need to seek advice. If you need some help sorting through all of these decisions, and that's one thing you can do in 2018 to be better prepared for retirement is to seek advice from a financial advisor. And a GenWealth financial advisor is near you and ready to have that first free complimentary appointment. It is 501-653-7355, the number to set up that appointment. 501-653-7355. And we'll continue right after this.
Stay in touch with the Get Ready for the Future show during the week. Search Facebook for GenWealth Financial Advisors or follow us on Twitter at GenWealthFA. More straight talk about money after this break. This ain't your mama's financial advice. Turn it up because we're back with the Get Ready for the Future show.
Talking about things to do in 2018 to be better prepared for retirement. We know we still have a little more than a month of 2017, but we also know with the holiday season approaching that there's an opportunity to get out of the hustle and bustle of everyday life, relax, spend some time with family, eat a lot, shop a lot, whatever you're doing during the holidays, but there's also some downtime. And wouldn't it make sense to spend a little bit of that downtime assessing where are you in regard to preparing for retirement? Have you set retirement goals? Have you thought about a retirement budget? Have you begun to think about, do you need to save more? And it's kind of a sidebar, and it's not really a sidebar because it all goes into the retirement planning, but it's a little bit out of what we've been talking about so far in the show. Austin, you spend a lot of time on the insurance side well. You're an insurance specialist here at GenWealth. I think it's a great opportunity, too, to pull out some of your old insurance policies.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of people maybe 15, 20 years ago got set up on an insurance policy and haven't really thought about it. We talked about the autopilot of automatic contributions to your 401k. That may have been put aside, put in a drawer, and they don't even really know what they have.
Yeah. You definitely want to have, an insurance audit. Really look at and see, okay, what do I have? You know, some people I've met with, they come in and go, I think I have a policy, then realize, oh, it termed out. Or, no, I actually don't have that policy. I might have cashed out the cash value. They're unsure. And so it's a great time with the free time, maybe not working. You can really sit down and look, what do I actually have in place?
Yeah. So if you want to know a little bit more about what you might have or maybe have some guidance in what you should do next about it in performing that audit, I do want to mention that we have a podcast that we just recorded this week, and I want to encourage people to be looking for it. But we're talking about evaluating your life insurance needs because that changes. That's the whole point of this, right?
Yeah.
You pull it out 10 years ago, you were in one stage of life. Now you may be in a different stage of life and may not have the same life insurance needs.
Yeah, correct. And Scott, we kind of discussed going through a process. If y'all may have heard a LIFE acronym, LIFE, and it's a great simple way to just really look at what you have. Do you have enough coverage? Like you said, 10 years ago, you're in a totally different life situation. Life changes, kids, got married, upgraded homes, maybe something to look at, your loans or liabilities. Do you need to adjust your coverage to protect that in case something were to happen to you or your spouse? And also look at income adjustment. Did you get raises? Have you been earning more? That's definitely something we need to address. Make sure you have enough to cover final expenses. Average cost of a funeral between $10,000 and $20,000. So we want to make sure you have enough for that. And then also, if you do have kids, maybe you want to start saving for their college. So you start saving on your retirement with them. And then also looking at if something were to happen, do I have enough to cover their cost of school for them?
So if you want to find out a little bit more, we encourage you to check your feed on iTunes or Stitcher to look for that podcast on a life insurance audit around the holidays.
Scott, let me say that we spend a lot of time talking about people not doing everything that they need to do as far as their retirement is concerned. I don't know, in my 30 years of being in the financial industry, I don't know of an area that is more neglected than a family's insurance coverage. It's something you don't want to think about. I know nobody likes to think about dying or anything. Insurance policies are confusing and all of this type of thing. And it is probably the most sitting duck, if you will, area of your personal finances.
And here's my perspective over this year. I've had not close friends, but people that I know who have tragically passed away. And what I find the correlation is after that death, now the next Facebook feed, the next text message I get is to one of the fundraising sites, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
I honestly, and I thought about this week going into this Saturday morning, trying to call up one of those organizations and just try to get some statistics that basically say, based on the number of GoFundMe pages, mm-hmm. how many of those are really because people did not have life insurance? Because I have seen it personally over and over again this year where people don't have the coverage. But even more so when you were talking about the audit.
Yeah.
I met with
a
guy last week who in, 2005 took out a five-year term policy. Now, you got to remember, you can keep those things past their maturity. Yep. It becomes annual renewable. Mm-hmm. He is currently, right, we're in 2017, 12 years past the maturity, is paying 720% greater premiums than on the original 5 year. And it was just in a drawer and it's on auto draft, right? Yep. It's one of those automatic things. And I asked him, I said, number one, do you even need the coverage? The answer is yes. I said, well, maybe we should go get it cheaper.
Yeah.
Right. So it is those things that become real life that autopilot can be a bad thing until you sit and do what Austin was saying.
Yeah. And I sat down with a couple who had a variable universal life policy. And I remember it was variable universal life with a 5 year term. And I just point blank asked them, why do you have this? I don't know. It's just been sitting in my drawer and some guy sold it to me and it sounded good, but I've never understood it. And that's where, assessing, we sat down at their dinner table and we just assessed everything. Like, I asked the question, do you need this? No, it costs too much, but we need the coverage. That's where we start looking at other options. And Scott, you and I discussed on that podcast the different types of life insurance, just because I know it can get real hairy and real confusing, like John had said. And so, we kind of dive in and try to simplify it a little bit to help you understand and educate more.
Fair enough to say, John, that if your financial advisor is not asking you about your insurance needs or your current insurance assessment, that you need to probably get a second opinion?
Well, absolutely. And if you're blowing it off, if they do ask you about it, stop. And understand that it's really not a sales pitch. It mm-hmm. really is a reach out to you as far as your own personal financial health is concerned.
Because if you don't have the proper coverage and something does happen to you and your income's no longer coming in to support the family and your income's not coming in, which means you're not making contributions to your 401k and savings, it goes all the way back to your ability to save. Now, you may not be here, but I would assume most people want to make sure that their spouse and family is taken care of. It comes through savings, emergency funds, having commitments, protection through the life insurance. It's an important part of your finances. It's not just about rolling over your IRA.
Another reason to seek advice, 501-653-7355. That's the number to call to get that first appointment with the GenWealth Financial Advisor near you, El Dorado, Hot Springs, Bryant, Little Rock, Shreveport, Louisiana. Just got a couple of more minutes now in the program this morning. I want to touch on this. When you talk about things to do in 2018 to be better prepared for retirement, I've highlighted the need to stick it out with stocks. And the reason I say that is we've been, John, we've talked about this on the fastest 4 minutes in investing ad nauseum. The S&P 500 has been in a historically low volatility time frame. We have not corrected that. The S&P 500 has not corrected 3% off all-time highs in the past year. That is the longest run on record. So the message for you this morning as we head into 2018, a correction is coming.
Yep.
Don't panic. when it happens.
That's right. Yeah, I think that everyone is almost sitting on G, waiting on O on mm-hmm. the correction. Yeah. And I think that when that correction begins to happen, we've got to be careful that we keep our heads. Because I think that everybody just thinks the next one is going to be 2008 again. The next one is likely not going to be 2008. The next one is likely going to be 5 or 10% down and a healthy correction to move forward. It's a buying opportunity. If you talk to Burt White, if you talk to John Lynch, if you talk to any of our team at LPL Research, they say that it would be very healthy for the market to correct 5 to 10%. And I agree with them, only to the fact that we don't all get crazy and think it's going down 30 or 40%.
But to bring the point up is when that pullback happens, how many couch quarterbacks are going to be sitting there ready to pull the trigger? I've been sitting on cash and I'm waiting for the pullback and I'm going to jump in. Very few. That's why you have to automate now to have the investments going in so you're ready to take on that opportunity. And what I do say, a pullback is an opportunity if you are systematically adding money. You're going to buy the same things in your 401k cheaper for a period of time unless you're not participating, yes. unless you're not putting enough in, because you're going to miss it.
Well, and just to give a little bit of an under the hood of how we work at GenWealth, our strategic asset management growth portfolio, we raised cash earlier this year, even though the market was going up. We raised cash because, number one, we think that the market is getting a little bit long in the tooth. And secondly, we wanted to have some cash to be able to take advantage of some things when the market does correct. So I think it is coming. It is healthy for the market. We don't see, let me say this very clear, we don't see any recessionary clouds on the horizon. As a matter of fact, what we see is the economy accelerating and things going actually better than they have in a number of years. So don't think that just because there's a lot of noise out there, there are a lot of people out there that really want you to get it in your head that this thing's going to blow up. I need to take my money out of where it is and go put it in this safe money investment, quote unquote, and you'd sit there and earn 2 or 3% interest maybe for the next 15 or 20 years. And that's detrimental to your overall retirement program.
So the clarity here is a correction or a pullback is not the same as a bear market or a recession. And that's the distinction you're drawing there.
Absolutely. It is not the same. As a matter of fact, just think about the fact that, you know, we had the correction in 2009. Well, I'm sorry, we had the bear market in 2008, 2009. 2011, we had a big pullback because we downgraded the U.S. debt rating, right?
Yep.
It's a blip on the radar today, as a matter of fact, because the market has basically overcome that and went straight up from there.
So we hope you have pondered during our show, a little bit about maybe what you should be doing differently or things to consider as you head into 2018 to be better prepared for retirement. Do you need to save more? Do you need to look at maybe some diversification in both the types of accounts from a tax diversification standpoint, or maybe diversification in the types of investments that you hold? You want to step outside of that 401k. Set up an appointment with a GenWealth financial advisor. Here's that number, 501-653-7355, or reach out to us, info@getreadyforthefuture.com. We're out of time for this Saturday morning. Hope you'll join us again next week.
The GenWealth Financial Team is available to you 24/7 at info@getreadyforthefuture.com or call our offices at 844-869-PLAN. The Get Ready for the Future show is a production of GenWealth Financial Advisors, and opinions expressed are not those of this radio station and are for general information only. You should personally consult a financial advisor before making any investment, and no strategy can assure success. GenWealth Financial Advisors is an Arkansas registered investment advisor with securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. PC.